Online Podcast May 9th, 2005Hello, welcome to Online Podcast. This is John Ong. We are going to be continuing our discussion, my discussion and Bridget Hannah Jones's discussion on Malaysian films in the San Francisco International Film Festival that ended last, Thursday, May 5th. And we had a long conversation, and if this is your first time tuning into the show, you might want to stop the show now and actually go back and listen to show that was posted on May 6th of 2005 and see if you can catch up with the first part of the discussion. This is a second part of a two-part show, so you want to go back and listen to the first part before you enjoy listening to the rest of this show. And for those who have already listened to the first part of the show, here's the second part of the show.
But we'll talk about that. And then, okay, so what other films did you get to see all of them, all the Malaysian films?
There were five. There were six films total, and two of them were like experimental shorts by Amir Muhammad. He's actually one of the most, I think he's one of the most veteran of this new wave group. And he does mainly, well, I don't know if you remember, but like in the previous 2 years when I've been attending the Gay Lesbian Film Festival here, he had his films in those festivals, like very short films, and they're always very, very political, and they're always gay related.
I remember you telling me.
Yeah, so he had two short films in this festival. One was called The Year of Living Dangerously. And it was actually kind of like a documentary where he followed this, he was at the production of this Indonesian film, and this Indonesian film was about the election of a new, they have a prime minister, the election of the new prime minister. President.
Yeah.
They have a new, it was about the election of their new president, and it was kind of like a behind-the-scenes documentary, and I think I'm sure he made something political about it. And the other film was called, Tokyo Magic Hour. And I just read about it, actually, because I just had no time to see it, and it's apparently also like kind of like a collage kind of film, experimental, and it's also gay-related.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good for him.
So this guy, Amir Muhammad, in terms of being more radical in film, and progressive, I think he's the one. And he's also very, very funny, because during the seminar, he was the one who's always cracking jokes.
Now, is he in Malaysia? Is he based in Malaysia?
He is now based in Malaysia, but I believe he studied law in England, and he went to New York University to study film.
Oh, how fun. So I have to research a little bit about him. What's his name again?
Amir Muhammad.
Amir Muhammad. Okay, I have to research a little bit about that and put a link.
He's also in the festival program. If you look online, you find him there as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then the other two films, I think we haven't talked about Monday, what is the other one? And Gravel Road.
Monday Morning Glory is by this, also by a Chinese director called Wu Mingjin, and he apparently has a very famous short, and I think it's actually famous in the United States, called Love for Dogs.
Oh,
which I know completely nothing about.
Yeah, neither do
I gather from him that he went to film school here in California, probably LA.
Uh-huh.
So that's how I gathered that Love for Dogs is probably produced here, and it was very successful here in the festival circuit. Yes. Okay. So beyond that, his feature at this festival is called Monday Morning Glory, and it is actually a it's actually kind of like a docudrama. Well, it's like a fictional narrative, mm-hmm. but it's done in a documentary style, and it's about this reenactment that they have in Southeast Asia, because in Southeast Asia, when there's like a terrorist attack or something, a terrorist plot,
mm-hmm.
and when they have like captured terrorists, the police will gather the actual terrorists together with journalists and make the terrorists like reenact what they were doing before they were caught.
Oh.
So it is a very, very interesting premise.
Is it like a modern film or a classic or a period film or what?
It's totally modern.
Okay.
Yeah. And
is it set in Malaysia?
I'm sorry?
Is it set in Malaysia?
That's a very good question. He actually set it in a fictitious country.
Oh.
But, well, I mean, it's non-specific. It's just, like a country.
Just like Caucasian Chalk Circle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, if you watch it, you would know that he was using Malaysian locales. Like Bangsar, and I think he used like some downtown locations. So it's recognizably that, but I mean, nothing was mentioned in the film about what country this is and everything. And so they wanted to say about this film.
Okay, do you think the approach of making it ambiguous as far as the country wise, is it because of the Malaysian government that he has to do that, or do you think it's just his artistic approach that he's doing that?
I don't think it's so much about the Malaysian government, because, well, I mean, I would say that he was actually, his film was partially funded by the Film Development Corporation of Malaysia. So, but during the seminar, he said that, you know, it was not due to that, because he really wanted to make this film. His film is not about Malaysia, it's about Southeast Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Because this thing, this reenactment of, you know, the plans of what they do, is actually from, I mean, it actually really happens in Southeast Asia and South America. Yeah.
That's why it's not country specific, it's just that about that particular issue, not a certain country. Yeah. Okay. Okay, and
So, like I said, it was like in a documentary style, and I would say it's more like experimental in his debut feature, so it's just good. I would say that about it.
Okay. My stupid clock chimed again, because it would chimed at 9:30 and chimed at 9:45. Okay, so is that about... okay, then we can move on to the next film.
Yes, my favorite, The Gravel Road.
Okay, is that the favorite of all?
Yes, I would say so. Because it is... did you get my report about it?
I did, I played it this morning.
Oh dear. Okay, so like I said, you know, because I felt that it was like the most like touching, mm-hmm. like the most personally inspired. Yeah.
You said it's also
very quiet and calm, and what I got from it today when I was watching Sefet, and because I felt Sefet was so Malaysian too, and that was also so Malaysian, but The Gravel Road is more like a, I realized that it's more like a period drama also. Because it was set in the 60s, and because of that, and because of the locale, it was like set mostly in a rubber plantation. It is very contained, so it's so special, because it's like a period drama. That's also like a, I would say, like a chamber piece, I would call it that.
Yeah, I guess, because when you said that, I was like, you know, because it's, you know, it's like in the rural part of, the location is kind of in the rural part of town, or not town, but, you know, in the rural area, and so it just, because I saw a picture of it also, is it a girl sitting on like a little bridge or something, foot bridge or something?
Yeah, a little bridge across the stream.
So yeah, so was it beautiful also?
It is Yeah, it was very beautiful. And this is the main point that I wanted to bring up at this discussion, that for those who do not know me yet, Bridget Hannah-Jones is extremely, extremely fussy when it comes to the screening. Oh, dear.
What was that?
There's a bit of a commotion here because I'm still at the theater.
Oh, okay.
And the power went
out. Oh, my God, you're actually live.
Yes, I'm live at the very last day of the festival, but the tower as well is so funny, actually. So all these people are exiting from the main theater, which is huge. And talking about the main theater, it was the one with the hugest screen.
Oh.
And as I was mentioning, like, I'm really, really fussy on like, you know, big screens, and if the actual thing that's projected is an actual film or video.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, and he actually shot it on digital video,
uh-huh.
And when it was projected, it was on video too. So I went into the screening expecting not to like the look of the film, but I would see the video, okay? But I knew that I would kind of like the story. Mm-hmm. So the thing that proves to me that, you know, that it was really beautifully shot, and on top of everything, of course, like a great story, is because I was totally like, you know, it totally didn't matter to me anymore that it was projected on video.
Wow. And yeah. Were all the films you saw shot on digital, or
no? Only the smaller budget ones.
Okay.
Like the Gravel Road, Monday Morning Glory, and I'm pretty sure the two Amir Muhammad shorts are in video as well.
Mm-hmm.
But not the bigger ones, the Sepet and the Kukri Gunung Leran. Those are in film, and they were projected in film as well.
Okay. And then let's go back to Gravel. What?
Yeah.
Okay, what?
Oh, just give me 1 second. So it was that, you know, it was just very, very well composed. And but I mean, I guess, you know, you shouldn't give him this full credit, you know. I mean, even though he's director, because he had a whole crew of, like art directors.
Mm-hmm. Cinematographer.
Yes, and, DPs, you know, doing the lighting. But I mean, what I like about it is it's so unique, and again, you know, it plays into this whole like chamber piece, because it's set in a rubber plantation. So what do rubber tappers do? You know, they go out to tap rubber while it's still dark.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So yeah. The film actually begins that way. It's very dark, you know, so you get this whole feeling of being enclosed into this world. It's just so charming, the mm-hmm. film. Because of that, it's so special.
Now I want to see it. Where can we find the films?
Well, I just have you received my emails about a Kindle?
Yeah, what is that?
So a Kindle.com is this new, I would say, like new service. It's kind of, you could compare it to like maybe like Direct TV.
Uh-huh.
Where you need to, well, the drawback is you need to get their player, a Kindle player, and you need to get like a subscription to them. But mm-hmm. once you get them, you can access not only films from this festival, but like a lot of other things, a lot of other forms of like media and news and what they use.
Oh.
Yeah, so beginning June 1st, the films of the San Francisco International Film Festival will be available. And it's not just this year, I think it's like previous years as well.
Oh, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna have my brother go back and look for the DVDs or whatever the DVD or I'm sure everything has DVD now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna write down all these films. But yeah, I don't know whether it's in popular distribution or not, though, however.
Oh, okay, now we can talk about that because they talked about all this at the seminar, the Malaysian seminar.
Mm-hmm.
And they already have DVDs in Malaysia, and apparently there's even like pirating of it.
Oh my god!
But according to this director, the Deepak Kumaran Menon,
mm-hmm.
he apparently went to the people who sell the pirated DVDs, and he told them, you know, like, oh, you know, could you please not do this? Because it's like a local product, and you know, like, we really need the sales and everything. And apparently, there was, like, this support. from the people who pirate the DVD.
Oh, like the.
I mean, you know that, you know, the actual Malaysian films won't be the ones who are the most popular, who are the most piratized, I would say.
Yeah.
All the Hollywood films.
Yeah. So that's cool. And anything else? The whole experience of watching, were there other Malaysians there, or any sort of, you know, what those Is this the first time? I mean, it's not the first time that Malaysian films are being shown in film festival that you've been to. Like you said, that Amir Muhammad was in the Gay and Lesbian Film Festival. So is this like the first, Malaysia being the country that's kind of like a featured country in that film festival?
Yes. I think this is the very first time in this festival, and I think probably for Malaysia too. But I mean, I would say before I talk more about the festival is that I think those films who I've talked about, and especially The Gravel Road, if you check it out on its website, it's already traveled to the Rotterdam International Festival, and Bebet, which I watched today, was already at a festival in France, a women's film festival in France, because the director is a woman. So I think it's just that, you know, like Malaysia this year, it's just like particularly this year, like they become like more prolific. It's just like the right timing. And all these films are like coming out like now, so we should be really excited. Just like we're experiencing now that, you know, like, okay, Malaysia is coming up filmically. Yeah,
cool, that is very nice.
Yeah.
And okay, and tell me about your personal experience about the film festival.
About the film festival?
Yeah.
I would say that this year, more than ever, like, I think, because even in their promos and everything, they were promoting it as a festival where you should widen your focus of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like experience films, you know, apart from films, you know, like Hollywood or your own country.
Mm.
You know, like, and kind of like experience other cultures and see things through other people's eyes, you know, rather than your own. So, this is basically this way every year at the festival. They have a diverse bunch of films.
Mm-hmm. Now, does it make the Malaysian films even better now that you're from Malaysia and you haven't been in Malaysia, back to Malaysia for a while? Does it make it even more like nostalgic almost?
It definitely does, yes. Because you are reminded of all this, like when I watched that, but you're reminded of all these elements that you know thoroughly, and it's all there.
And also, my personal, well, I've been thinking about it. I haven't seen any of the movies yet, but I've been any of the films. But I've been thinking that doesn't certain of these film kind of remind you of things that you kind of took for granted before, and now you look at it and say, oh my god, it's so beautiful.
Absolutely, actually, that even happened when I watched the very first film, The Princess Mang Ledang.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my, well, I would say that just the beauty of the language made me want to go back to Malaysia. I know.
Yeah, because we used to dread Bahasa Klasik. Every time we have to do the classic Malay, we were like, oh my god, we have to translate Bahasa Klasik. That's what we had to do when we were in school.
I don't know if I actually dreaded actual Bahasa Klasik more than I just dreaded having to learn Malay.
Mm.
Yeah, and that's actually how I felt when I watched this film. Oh, it's so quiet here in the stairwell. Anyway, when I watched it, when I watched The Princess Mang Ledang, I was like, oh, okay, if this film was around when we were learning Malay, mm-hmm, that'd be so motivated. I wouldn't have failed for my SPM.
I actually did pretty well. I enjoy learning Malay, but I dreaded the Bahasa Classic because it's always... In fact, I opted didn't do that question. I think you can like choose whether or not you want to do a whole comprehension in Bahasa Classic, the classic Malay, or you can do something else. I think I opted to do the something else. But yeah, how interesting. But you know, that's what make me feel, that's what make me want to watch even more Malay movies. In fact, this last time when I went back to Malaysia, I totally had that whole nostalgic feeling. I was at the airport, I was like, oh my god, all these beautiful things, beautiful faces, scenery and things that I kind of never did pay any attention, you know. It's like always wanting to get away from it.
Well, I mean, okay, so when I watched that, the first feature, Putri Gunung Ledang, that's what I got about the language, okay? But I think the most profound feeling, I mean, of what you're trying to get me to report about is when I watched The Gravel Road. And one of the things I felt the most was I was kind of ashamed of parts of my upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, because like when you grow up and you're like Chinese, you know, your parents, I don't know if it happened in your family, but for me, it's like, you know, they would say things about like, you know, oh, the Malays are this way, the Indians are that way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you
it is very common. I don't think I can say it necessarily in my family, but in, you know, you grew up with Chinese people, and of course you would hear those kind of things said about other ethnic groups.
Yes. So when I watch The Gravel Road, I'm like, oh wow, you know, here I am like appreciating this great piece of art, you know, and it's made by a Tamil guy who is like on top of everything, you know, so much younger than me, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's like, wow, you know, I felt like I really came like full circle. But I would say that, I mean, I have this insight because I live in the United States and have this, like, detachment from your own country of how you were brought up. So you see things differently, and you learn to appreciate again about, like, where you came from.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So that, and that's, I mean, that's how I felt. And when I watched Separate, too, I was... it was more of like, you know, like being reminded of all the little like details, like in everyday dialogue, you know, like Chibai. it was actually said, you know, and like I said earlier, like, you know, like the laka, like when the main
mangal. Oh my god! Did you laugh? Were you the only one in the audience who laughed?
No, I think I was actually sitting next to two Malays.
Oh, okay.
But let me try and remember. I think I might have been the only one who laughed when she said manga. because you know, really, like, no one gets it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would tell you also that there was also a laka in Putri Gunung Ledang.
Oh my god, really?
Yes. But it's just one in each film.
Oh, okay. Oh my god. In fact, I have... Oh, the stupid clock is chiming again. It's 10 o'clock. But I was going to tell you that I have actually talked about... I don't know whether you've heard how many shows... You've probably heard that one show, right?
I heard your last show. The one where you...
The one I was driving in the car.
The last one. And it's so funny.
So, but anyway... Yeah, that was because I was driving on Warp Parkway, and then there's this bird. I just saw this bird, like, crashing down, zoom, falling down from the tree.
No, but even before that, you know, like, even when you woke up...
Uh-huh.
You were like... My
you know, that's
a garage storm.
No,
it's
my...
It's like watching real...
I know, okay. Like, that is the most exciting thing about podcasting, is that you get to go into a piece of somebody's life, you know. And that's part of the reason why, well, besides being so busy that I don't have time to actually sit down and do a real podcast in my studio, I ended up actually enjoying doing more of the portable podcasts, or more of the like lazy ass podcasts that I've always do, because it catches more of my surrounding and my environment. So I think that sometimes gives people a little bit more of that picture of when I'm actually doing the recording and the surrounding. And some of them I actually do it with in really high quality stereo. And like there's one that I went to Costco, you know, I went to shop and walk into Costco.
Yeah, it takes like, you know, it takes a while for me to download it, but I'm just dying to hear.
Yeah, and there's another one. There's another one.
Let me ask you, were you
pushing
around a shopping cart?
Yes, I was. You can actually hear it. You can hear it.
That's what I really pictured. That's what I
In fact, I've got a lot of very positive feedback from that Costco show, because it's like, you know, it's like I felt like I was next to you, you know, that the whole feeling of being in that room with you. But another thing is, even if it's bad quality, you already have that feeling, but when it's really good stereo sound, you can hear things from your left, you're moving from the left to the right, from the back to the front, that kind of sound. It really is very, yeah, very nice. But another thing is, I actually talked about Lata on my, one of my shows.
Yes, I saw that too.
Yeah.
And you even have like a little like dictionary explanation.
Yeah, yeah. I found it on the website, and so I was, you know, I mentioned that. So I want you to listen to that too. And, it, you know, it's something that is so part of my growing up and my culture. And for some people who do not know, and one day I'm going to have to go into the whole discussion about Peranakan. I think I've talked about that a little bit when I talk about Lata. But that's part of my culture. So that's one of the, I think, isn't that one of the lead male character in the Sepet that was also his mother?
This was so interesting about, well, I mean, to talk a bit more about it again. Mm-hmm. The characters are so interesting because his mom is Peranakan,
mm-hmm,
but his dad is Chinese.
Yeah.
And there's like this, well, I can tell you a bit about the scenes. There's a scene where they're having dinner.
Uh-huh.
And the mom is speaking Malay, the dad is speaking Cantonese, and I believe it's his sister and his brother-in-law,
uh-huh,
were speaking Mandarin.
Oh.
And they showed this scene without subtitles, which I don't know if I appreciate it or not. I would have like thought that they would say something like, you know, like three different dialects. Yeah, I mean, So the thing is that his mom is Peranakan and his dad is Chinese. So I think in the film, his character is supposed to be like more like Chinese.
Yeah, just like my family. My mom's side is Peranakan.
Uh-huh.
And my mom's is really, mine is kind of diluted because my mother's father's from China, but my mother's mother, my maternal grandmother, is pure Peranakan. Yeah, she's, because her both parents are Peranakan.
Mm.
So
yeah, you know, and that's also why the Sepet is kind of like defined as the Malaysian film, because it even goes into that, you know, they take like, you know, like two lines, but they explain it like where Peranakan came from, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about the Sultan Manshosa and the Hang Li Po.
Hang Li Po. Okay, this is like totally off the track of what we're talking about, but my mom, when she comes here to America, when we go to Home Depot, she always say Hang Li Po. Because my mom has her own, I don't even know, do you call this malapropism? I don't know how you call this. She always missay words that is like close sounding or similar. And she would say, like, for instance, I have to do an entire show about that. Because she would call...
Everybody does that. You know, like Volker, for everyone, it's like, oh, God, it's dreadful. this friend of mine...
Uh-huh.
I'm sitting in this...
You should have Volker listen to the show.
And everyone is being pushing. They want to take us validated. Well, this is actually an AMC theater. Okay, we sidetracked, but... Whatever, that's your show.
Yeah.
So Volker is my good German friend who's, mm-hmm, in San Francisco, and we're constantly having phone conversations. So he does that too. He always mix up stuff, and you know, it becomes something totally new. He gets a life of his own.
Like, yeah.
You know, like there's a word or a name, and he somehow remembered it wrongly, and uh-huh, he would just say it. and use it.
Like, okay, my mom has a lot of the things that I can remember is, like, she's, okay, this is better for Malaysian, because so for those people who do not know about the product, it might not be as funny. So my mom would say, like, things like, you know, there's a can of Code 10 in the fridge, so go drink it, instead of 100 plus. And then she said oh, I saw this picture you sent, email me, it's really nice, so I made it my curtain instead of desktop. What do people call it in Windows, is what, not desktop pictures, they call it wallpaper. So my mom would say curtain. So she'd say things like that. So when you say Hung Lipo, that, you know, made me think of Home Depot. And then she also say Old Navy, she call it Old Lady. Because she said, oh, because she went and buy a lot of clothes from Old Navy. And so she said, oh, I thought it's like a shop for old ladies.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And for everyone who's listening, I'm actually, my roommate is Gael Garcia Bernal, if you know who that is.
No.
Oh, he's like this, the Mexican actor who was in like...
Is your roommate?
So I'm trying to make a point about the topic we're talking about. My roommate is actually Indonesian. His name is Bernard. And when Falcon met Bernard, he kept insisting on calling him Gael Garcia Bernal.
Oh.
But I mean, he's the actor who was in what's that film? Bad Education. That film.
Yes.
Like the cross dragging.
Yes.
Cross dressing.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So, oh boy. Okay, we have these slides, right?
I know. So totally. That's totally my show. But anyway, it's been really good. You have to have Folker listen to the show too.
Yeah, actually, he has an iPod. Well, actually, all this is like totally easily, more easily accessible than an iPod, right?
Well, not necessarily. Well, it would be easier because then you can actually download all the shows and listen to the shows at your own time. That's part of the whole reason. And a lot of people listen to my shows like during the morning commute, you know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, how dreadful. Now the streets, and it sounds more like New York than New
York. But yeah, it's okay. I've had like two of my shows got siren, you know. My Costco show's got siren and everything.
Yeah.
But
it's evening now, so the wind is like...
You know what I think? This is like perfect for you, I think. If you were gonna do it yourself, this is like the...
Oh, no. The thing is, Bridget Jones has to make an announcement that she doesn't really like to do like audio recording so much, but discussions are totally fine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because you remember when we did audio production, I really didn't like it that much. I know.
I was so into audio. So I was like, oh my god, this is perfect for me. And it's like, I've always been like a closet DJ and I've always wanted to do this. And now I actually get to do it. I mean, with some audience, well, not audience, like some listeners, I don't have a big number of listeners, but I do have some. So, well, I don't really care because the fun part is the making of it, and also, as long as there's one listener, this is enough. You know, I'm talking to one listener, and one listener get this. This is enough. And you know, most of my shows are really, truly a slice of my life, about things that I do and things that interest me and excite me. You know, so it's as long as that kind of resonate in one person's, like, you know, how you felt like, you know, you. I get up in the morning, so it's very real and blah 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 blah. As long as that get to one person, it's already enough for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I really like this, and you know, can you imagine how much fun we could have with sometimes? I mean, not on just like this one film festival topic, but just like a general topic about things about life with Raymond and you and I. Oh my god. Oh, Raymond is that bitch.
I think that bitch doesn't want to do it.
I know! I might just have to, like, call her and actually call her.
Ambush.
Yeah. Yeah, ambush her. Yeah, big sister! Well, her means him.
Also, I want to comment because the very first show I heard was the one that I happened to call in.
Which one?
Well, I mean,
oh.
I talked about the pursuit of equality.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was so funny because you were really like, I don't know, the one which you were like, comment.
What? I was what?
The retarded message. Wasn't that strange?
I know. You were so much a steward
with your attitude. Wasn't that strange?
You know, it was like strange, but yet almost funny that it's so strange it's funny, you know?
Yeah, I know, but it's just like...
Kipawagam dua kosong kosong empat. Oh my gosh! I hope you get to hear more.
Yeah, I will.
Hey,
yeah,
you know what you can do? What you can do is you can you can do it. Oh my God, Jesus! What was that? You can download the shows. You can set up the download. Is this dial up? What kind of dial up service? Is that AOL?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you can, also you can like set the show. Like click on the download button. Oh, there's a way for you to download and save the show, I think. Yeah. If you're on a Mac, right? You're on an iBook. So when you click on the website, instead of clicking on the link and listen to the thing on your website, if you hold down the option key and click on that link, it will actually download that file.
Okay.
So if you hold down the option key. If you hold down the option key and you click on that link, it actually downloads that file that is... point to that link, so it will download the MP3 file. So you can do like maybe two shows at the same time, so it will download like maybe three shows over like a few hours time or something. I don't know how fast it downloads, but
Actually it's not that long. That's why I got to listen to your shows. It's not that long, but it's not that fast either. Yeah, but it's fine. I mean, I don't mind because like what I've been doing is like, you know, it downloads like half.
Right away.
I've been listening again. So like yesterday I was listening to about the bird. and the scream that you made. It was like priceless. It was like
yeah, that's so, you know, sometimes you can plan the show until it's so thorough and the show would still come up very dull. And sometimes you just turn on the recorder and you get capture all these fun, exciting things.
Yeah, and the priceless thing about that show, also the bird show, was at the end when you were playing the song, you know what you said, right?
Yeah, what is it at the end? Am I recording?
You say, Oh my god.
Okay, this is what I usually do. And that actually is a clip from the very ending of that recording. All I did was I cut off that clip and then I play my theme song, and at the very end I'll play, usually if I have something silly or funny that like kind of like an outtake, you know, I would do it at the very end. So if you listen to more of the show
earlier?
That was actually at the very end of that recording, but I just didn't play it all the while. Like, you know, I say, okay, bye. And then, am I recording? And then, you know, I just keep checking on my recorder. So I always do that. But sometimes our actual outtake that's from the beginning, because I record, sometimes I do a recording saying, online podcast, what date. And sometimes I would, you know, mess up and I would laugh. Sometimes I put that instead. So, you know, whenever there's like, you know, a silly outtakes, I sometimes put it at the very end of the show.
Oh, okay.
So, but they're all real.
Yes, I'm boarding an annoying bus. Very annoying.
It's really good. Thank you so much for doing all the reporting and this wonderful discussion. And I'm sure we'll talk more about Tiara and Tiara Jacquelina again.
Yes.
Whenever there's any interesting thing that is going on, call me and leave a message and I'll just post it.
Okay. So you have posted, you did another show this morning, is it, or what?
Yeah, I did a show this morning, and it was just, I call it the Malaysian Films pre-show, and then today, this would probably be the actual Malaysian Films, but I probably have to break it into two parts, so there's going to be a part one and a part two, because it's over an hour.
Oh boy.
Yeah. But thank you so much. Help, yeah. Thank you so much for doing
that. You're very welcome. I hope I did it okay amidst all the chaos. There was an accident here.
But you did wonderfully.
Weird. Everyone out there needs to be careful because something weird is happening. You know, first, like the bomb in New York. And then there was like this electric spader at the AMC theater. And then there's like a car accident. I just passed it on the bus.
Oh.
So that's where all the sirens were heading to. Wow, what a strange day.
Yeah.
But it is 555, so yeah, it's kind of strange.
Yeah, oh, that's right. 05, 05, 05.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, thank you so much, and we'll do this again.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, boy. Wasn't that... Oh, sorry. Wasn't that fun? That was Henry, and he gave us a really thorough report, and by the time you hear this segment, it would be the second part of the show, because I have to chop this show into two parts, and you just listen to the... So this would be the second part. And thank you so much for listening, and I hope it was exciting and interesting for you as it was for me and Henry. And so if you want any information that we've mentioned on the show, I will put up as many links as possible on my show notes, and you can go to my website, which is onlinepodcast.com. That's O-N-G-L-I-N-E podcast.com. And if you're listening to this, you probably know this already. Go to onlinepodcast.com to find show information, links and such about those films that we talked about, and also call in with your comments on 206-888-JOHN or email me at online@gmail.com. Thank you very much for downloading, and I will see you on my next show. Bye bye and take care. Don't forget to smile. Bye.